Mini episode 497 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by First Down Scouting, delivering the most thorough scouting service available, uncovering the NFL stars of tomorrow. Follow them on the web at the number 1stdownscouting.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome, everybody, to FDH Lounge, mini-episode number 497. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross coming at you, recording this live here at Casa de Riccio. And a little bit of a little bit of a emergency here before showtime here. Not all the technical stuff in working order, so to speak. But we got that working. Kyle was actually the hero of the fix on that one here. So
bringing together some tin cans here to get this podcast going.
Absolutely. And coming off of another great week for you, a 4-1, consecutive 4-1s for you, 36-25, rallying late in the year. You were never in unprofitable territory, but now you are in the black by a nice margin.
I am very good at this.
You are very good at this. You're
we closed strong last year, too, if I remember. But as I like to say every week, I hate this card.
I do, too. This is a horrible one. I of all the things I can promise, I will promise this. There will not be a repeat of what I did last week when I went 11-5. I went 3-0 on my big three, 1-0 on my lock pick. That brings me to 98-92-2 for the year. Almost a profitable territory, God forbid, although I'm still not there. 21-18 on my big three. That is profitable by a tiny margin. 5-8 on my locks for the year. As I always say, the last time that I did as good as this was week five, when I said, okay, high water mark, jump off. If you jumped off and you start going the other way after going
we're
with
still
me
doing this
five,
gimmick, huh?
Yes. 109-94-2, Kyle. Oh. People would be doing very well by that. Almost Kyle Ross territory. If they had followed those guidelines for the year. But as I was telling you off air, a strange week. Everybody listening to last week's abbreviated show had to be laughing at me after Thanksgiving. I went 0-3. I also went 0-1 on Monday night, but I told you I went 11-5. That means I went 11-1 on Sunday. My brownies were the only ones that I lost on. I never get that right with them. Every week that it's like they're going to take it in the posterior this week, they don't. Every week I think they're going to do something, they don't. 11-1 on Sunday.
Me thinks we're going to get into a nice debate about the Browns on this show.
Okay.
We'll save that.
All right.
But I'll say this. They are one of the hardest teams to handicap.
They are.
In the league.
God, they're hard.
They are in that. They are firmly entrenched in that Jekyll and Hyde category in the power rankings where the big picture, the record fits. But when you break it down on a game-by-game basis, it's almost like they win when you think you just said this. I'm kind of just repeating you. They win when you think they wouldn't, and they lose when you think they do. You know, I mean, they go to Cincinnati and win, get hammered by Houston, win in Atlanta, lose at Buffalo. I mean, it's pretty crazy. But this is a card where you and I are going to disagree a lot.
Well,
now, I'm proud of you. When you texted I was not on the show last week, but you texted me your picks, and I loved your big three so much. We agreed on two of them, as a matter of fact, Tampa and Atlanta. I loved your pick so much last week. I was so proud of you.
Thank you.
This week, to me, is going to put it to the test.
Okay.
I've been thinking that we're going to disagree more than we often have this year. You've kind of come around a little bit. But to me, this week, it's either take the ugly dog or pass on almost every game. There's a lot of short home dogs and a lot of big road dogs. I don't know. This is a week where I'm either going to do great or terrible,
I
feel.
No
so
confidence.
Watch me do in the middle. Watch me do in the middle.
I have no confidence. I was joking about last week on the show as I was relaying your picks that it was probably not a good sign for you. I agreed on all of your picks. You ended up going 4-1. You and I had a lot of convergence last week. We will probably have less this week. You're going to hear me citing a gut feel probably on more of these games this week, and probably you too, just based on, again, it is so hard to get your arms around this.
I've got one gut feeling pick this
week. Okay.
But the rest of them, I'm kind of sticking to my usual strategy.
Okay.
But the problem with that is, as it usually does, it brings me to the real dregs of the draw in the NFL. I mean, there's When I look at the teams I've got marked down, oh boy, they are not teams we're going to be seeing playing in January. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
And by the way, I always love doing the show live with you because we can, you know, go in depth some more on the team. So on the games that I don't have a play on, yeah, I'll kind of give you a forecast now. Everyone's got 12 games in the books.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've changed again from that midseason show who I think is going to make the playoffs
okay.
and how they're going to finish. But I think I say it every week, mm-hmm. and I'm wrong every week. I think I got this league figured out.
Okay. Well, now's the time we start to put that to the test, starting with the Thursday game, as per always. It's the 8-4 Cowboys at the 5-7 Bears, both teams coming off of exactly a week's rest because they played on Thanksgiving. This one is going to be 8:25 Eastern time from Soldier Field in Chicago on the NFL Network. Nance Sims and Wolfson on the call. This is a game where Dallas is laying 3.5 down from 4.5 initially, and right off the bat, one that I really, really, really kind of struggle with. And, again, just in looking at it here, when you look at the Bears surrendering about – I mean, they have a moderately decent rush defense, giving up about 106
The old rush defenses.
I go back to this a lot, yeah. I think this is a chance for Dallas to get well in the running game a little bit. I think it was a little bit of a fluke last week with DeMarco Murray having the kind of week that he did. And, again – the Bears, as USA Today Sports Weekly points out in their recap here, which I thought was a very good point to make, they haven't worried as much about establishing the run early on as they should. If you have Matt Forte, how do you not just use him and use him and use him?
When you fall behind 50-0 at halftime, it's usually time to give up on the run.
I understand, but in the first and the second quarter, and again, he's still getting a lot of screen passes. Don't get me wrong. He's still getting a lot of touches, but as they pointed out, Chicago could do a better job in that. If you want to look at the offensive mismanagement of the team, it probably starts from that. Chicago's going to, I think, really have to change what their offensive philosophy is to be able to keep up in this game. I think it's a get-well opportunity for both of them, but I take it a lot more seriously for Dallas, notwithstanding my aversion to Tony Romo in December, which is slightly greater than my aversion to Tony Romo in all months. I will go with the Cowboys.
Wow. Wow. Wasn't expecting that out of you. We know how you love those road favorites. Okay. The Bears, as we have been saying for some time, are due to start covering more at home. They were 1-9-1 against the number under Mark Trestman before covering back-to-back games as favorites, ironically enough, versus Minnesota and Tampa Bay a couple weeks ago. Then they come off the Thanksgiving Day loss against Detroit, had the early lead, and then it was all Lions. Dallas also loses on Thanksgiving. I was shocked by that. Might have been the worst loss
mm-hmm.
any team took last week, in that when it comes to do they make the playoffs or not, I think that game might have cost them. Because when I look at the Cowboys' schedule, they still got three games on the road. This mm-hmm. one next week against Philly. And then Washington, who knows what's going to happen late in the year. And they have to host Indianapolis, Dallas. You reference Romo in December. Look, it's a team thing. It's not all on Romo. I'm starting to think the Cowboys aren't going to make it. They are 5-0 on the road so far, so they're probably due to lose a road game.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm staying away because the Bears are bad, man. They have a negative 84-point differential. I realize a lot of that has to do with the two games against New England and Green Bay, who,
right.
you know, are the two best teams in the league. I just can't, like, to me, you've got the teams in exact same situations. Normally, I'd want to take the points, but I'm too scared to. The Bears are not a good team at all, and you got to wonder, you know, how long is Mark Trestman for this job? So I'm a little nervous with Chicago, and I'm going to pass here. Bears, they'll get closer to that Mendoza line by the way, mm-hmm. we've said this, another team with three straight home games.
Yeah.
They'll probably win two of these three. They close with the Vikings. I can see them finishing 7-9, 8-8. Dallas is going to be 10-6. I see them, unfortunately, they've lost to a lot of the wrong teams.
Yep.
They've lost to Arizona, San Fran, and they stand to be swept by Philly.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, they're going to be a 10-win team on the outside looking in.
Yep.
So I'm passing here. Just kind of wanted to throw
it would
lot
behoove
of
Dallas, and it's funny, I was looking at this not long before showtime. As I've pointed out to you previously, I suffer the misfortune of having my two fantasy football leagues that I'm being be 17-week leagues, which means that this is the last week of our season. I'm 7-6 in both leagues. Winning, I'm in. Lose, and I'm in the grid. I will not be in a good position if I'm in the grid, and neither will the Dallas Cowboys if they are at 9-7 or 10-6.
Yeah, I can't see Dallas doing better than 2-2 in their remaining four games. So, I mean, that's unfortunate. That's tennis. That was a killer loss last week at home to the team you're battling for first place.
Yep.
So, how do they respond? I'm not sure. Is DeMarco Murray going to wear down? I don't know. This game is just is too hard for me.
Yeah.
Dallas is a better team, no doubt about it, but I don't want to lay points.
Well,
laying points with Dallas is bad. They're a team that you want to take as an underdog.
Right.
Not lay points with.
And, of course, you know, as we've been saying, it's more complicated than who's the better team on paper. You go to the first game we're going to look at on Sunday, and certainly that holds up. It's in the AFC North, the 7-5 Steelers at the 8-3-1 Bengals, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati. Former Lounge guest Ian Eagle on the call with Dan Fouts and Jenny Dell. This is one where the Bengals are laying 3 points down from 4 initially. So they're laying 3 at home. That's the odds makers throwing up their hands in a mighty shrug and saying, what are you going to do? And I think the more you look at this, the more I kind of agree with that spirit, because there's a big sense out there, and you and I talked about this off air, and we agree about this, that Cincinnati's overvalued right now. And I've said before, I'm uncomfortable taking a team from
I don't know if they're overvalued. I just think they're not as good as their record.
Maybe I'm putting words in your mouth. Okay, well, they're not as good as their record. I agree with that. I've said before, I don't like to pick games for macro reasons in terms of, you know, where it's going to fit for the season, because it's 1/16th of a season. Anything can happen.
I do that too often.
Yeah,
and
I'm
doing that
often.
Here, by the way.
But, well, we probably have the same reason. I don't see the Bengals being 9-3-1, so I'm saying take the Steelers.
I couldn't agree more.
Okay.
This is my first recommendation.
Okay.
And gut play. Mm-hmm. I don't have a system here at all.
Me too.
It's kind of like with Arizona last week when I took Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I know you had that one, too, as one of your big three.
Yep.
You both gave out as a recommendation. I just don't see the Bengals as a 9-3-1 team. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something right now. I think this team's going to miss the playoffs. I think they are going to gag spectacularly down the stretch. I've mentioned this before on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Their last four games, they get Pittsburgh twice.
Right.
Next week, they go to Cleveland, who beat them in Cincinnati already.
Yep.
And they have to host Denver on Monday night, which I think is going to be the major implosion game. We know what happens when Cincinnati plays a national TV game against a contender.
Yep.
It never goes well.
Right.
That's going to be the game where all of a sudden it just all goes wrong. Who
right.
knows? I don't know if Andy Dalton, don't wish ill on the man, but who knows? Maybe his arm falls off. I'm all over Pittsburgh plus the points. I think they went out right here. The score, it was not as close as the final score indicated last week against New Orleans.
Right.
Pittsburgh deserves not to make the playoffs.
Talk about Jekyll and Hyde.
No,
yeah.
Isn't it so funny that I picked Pittsburgh to win this division before the year?
Mm-hmm.
I think now it's going to be Baltimore. It kind of upsets me, by the way. Obviously, that game's in your big three, so we're not going to talk about it now. But to me, Baltimore, I kind of want to tie them into these two teams. I think Baltimore's going to wind up winning this division now.
I kind of do, too.
When you look at the point differential, they're at plus 86 for the year, Baltimore. I know they killed Tampa Bay, so it kind of inflates a little bit. But still, that's a lot better than Pittsburgh, plus 22, Cincinnati, plus 13, Cleveland, plus 7. To be honest with you, this record, this division, everyone keeps talking, oh, look at all these records. Well, they're playing the NFC South.
Right.
And if the Steelers don't make it, they have only themselves to blame, because they lost to New Orleans at home.
Yep.
They lost to Tampa Bay at home.
Right.
Meanwhile, Cincinnati and Baltimore went to New Orleans and won.
Right.
That being said, I still think Pittsburgh's better than Cincinnati. They might beat them twice down the stretch.
I kind of agree with that.
Cincinnati was very lucky to beat Tampa Bay last week. So,
yeah, I think Cincinnati's overvalued as well. Well, next up here, we have one of the rare Fox Flex games on the schedule here. Two AFC teams, but it will be on Fox. The 8-4 Colts at the 7-5 Browns. Kevin Burkhardt, John Lynch, and the delicious Pam Oliver on the call on Fox for this one, 1 o'clock. I'll still call it Cleveland Browns Stadium in Cleveland. And this is one where the Colts are laying 3.5 up from 3 at the open. And this is one, the big story of this one, as of today when we're recording this, the decision coming down from Mike Pettine that despite appearances to the contrary over the last 24 to 48 hours, it will still be Johnny Clipboard and not Johnny Football on
Johnny
Sunday.
Bench. I like
Johnny
calling him
Bench.
Johnny Bench.
I like that.
Yeah.
He should patent that. As with Brian Hoyer getting the call, yet again. And that just cements my decision to go on the Colts because I've said it before, I'm not a Manziel guy, unlike FDH senior editor Jason Jones, who is a huge Manziel guy. I'm not.
Oh, I like Brian Hoyer more now.
To me.
Kidding, Jason.
To me, you know, we've seen Brian Hoyer. We've seen what he is. The book is out on him. The fact that he is trending downward rapidly, to me, is not a, an accident. At 7-5, it's easy to do the rah-rah, sis-boom-bah, we could still make the playoffs. I got news for you. I watch this team every week. They're not making the playoffs.
No, I don't think they are.
They are not. Time to see what you got in Johnny Manziel. Hoyer, you've got a very low ceiling on him at this point. It could get ugly on Sunday. There's going to be calls for Manziel. We may see him, but if it's already 21-0, what's it going to matter? I say take the Colts. You're going to have fun with this one, aren't you?
And I say take the Browns.
Wow.
Colts coming off a big win at home against bad Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Browns off the bad loss at Buffalo. About 86% all way, 82% of all wagers right now are on the Colts. Handle's way too high. What? Either I'm going to look like a freaking genius with this, mm-hmm. or I'm going to look real dumb.
Okay.
Indy's not going to win this game close. Because that record in close games
right.
is due to regress. So they're either going to completely annihilate the Browns.
Kind of what I'm looking for, sadly.
Okay. Or the Browns are going to win this game outright.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And I'm still holding on. Remember, now Atlanta's kind of – we'll talk about Atlanta at the end in the Monday night game.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been a couple weeks now since we've done this show together.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, one last place team always comes up to win the division the following
yep.
year. And I've kind of been holding on to that with Cleveland all mm-hmm. year. It's like, hey, they're in contention. I think Atlanta might wind up being that team now,
could
given
be.
The hideous state of the NFC South. But I have been telling people for a month that the Browns are going to be 9-6 going into that last game against Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll probably then lose.
That could be the flex Sunday night game, believe it or not.
Yeah, and then they'll probably lose and miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm with you. The Browns are probably not going to make the playoffs.
No.
But the Colts' defense is not good away from home. They give up 30 points per game on the road. They're playing outdoors. This is an indoor team. I don't know. I mean, the Colts, they cover a lot.
Yeah.
And I know that makes this sound – I mean, who have they lost? They've lost to Pittsburgh and New England, the only teams they've lost to since the beginning of October.
Right.
I just think – I don't know. Maybe Brian Hoyer circles the wagons one more time. I'm going to recommend the Browns. Second recommendation of the week.
More likely he's going to circle the drain just like he has the last month
Look,
or so.
Look, I just think that, like, did Ryan Tannehill play well Monday night?
No.
No one's calling for his head. And is he, like, is Ryan Tannehill that much better than Brian Hoyer? He's better than Brian Hoyer.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not significantly better. I just think that it's so easy to make a change at quarterback. And not look at the rest of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Gordon hasn't been great since he came back in the line. Him and Hoyer are not on the same page. I thought Gordon sold him out on the one pick against Buffalo last week. The interceptions were Hoyer's fault against Atlanta.
Right.
But, you know, Terrence West had the bad fumble.
Right.
The defense, ironically, is starting to do its job when the offense was carrying him early in
right.
the year. The Browns have yet to turn in a total team effort
right.
this year, except for the Pittsburgh game.
Right.
I don't know. I can just see something wacky happening here.
The way I
handicap, I don't know. I don't love it, but I'm going to take the Browns.
Well, you know, you're not averse to making those kind of picks. So there we go. Next up, it's a battle of teams in the execrable AFC South. It's the 6-6 Titans still at the fringes of the playoff race against the 2-10
the
Jags.
Texans.
Texans.
Oh, all of a sudden, when I heard Titans
Texans,
in fringes
yeah.
of the playoff race,
I
thought I'd fallen asleep and we were doing this show in week three.
Yeah. or in 1999.
Yes.
But the Texans against the 2-10 Jags. 1:00 Eastern time, Everbank Field in Jayville with Brian Anderson and Adam Archuleta on the call. They get to they get the hazard pay of sitting
Ooh.
Through this crappy game.
Have either of those guys been on the lounge before?
They have not, no.
Oh, okay.
They have not. You
is that because you don't know that? is that because you don't know who they are?
Brian Anderson has called a lot of baseball on TBS the last couple of years.
Okay.
I'm guessing this is part of the whole TBS-CBS talent
sharing. Maybe his voice, if I heard him, it would make me realize who he is.
Yeah, he's got decent enough broadcast pipes, to be sure. Houston is laying 5 on the road here, up from 4. initially. And, again, I will, as I did in one of the previous games, go back to that old chestnut. Jacksonville giving up 129.4 yards per game on the ground. Well, and I think the ability for Houston to keep Jacksonville on their heels with the pass and the run is the reason that I like Houston in this one.
That is me here. Is all of a sudden my computer has exploded, and I have no idea where that noise is coming from. That just totally threw me off here. My computer's stuck. I may have
Your web browser probably, right?
Yep. All right, here we go. I got it.
These damn ads.
Yeah, okay. See if I ever bring that page open again. It wasn't porn, Mom. The thing with rushing stats is sometimes I just think they can get inflated. The reason I kind of always laugh is they always can kind of inflated by the end of games, whether teams are winning and losing.
True.
And Jacksonville's generally losing, which is why they give up a lot of – because the team's just running the ball out on them. Look.
But it's not all garbage time why that number
No. I mean, they're not a good team.
Right.
Now, that being said, Houston, are they really as good as they looked last week? Ryan Fitzpatrick coming in throwing 6 touchdowns. DeAndre Hopkins, by the way. As a fantasy owner of DeAndre Hopkins, thank you for getting me into the playoffs very much. No one is going to take Jacksonville here because they are off a win, a shocking win over the New York Giants.
By the way, this guy called it.
Oh, very good.
My theory was everybody looked at it as a game. Okay, the Giants are having a bad year, but even they can win this game. I said,
good.
The thing of it is, this is also a game Jacksonville can win. How many games does Jacksonville have where they can possibly win? And they proved me right.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. I think they have a chance to win here.
Ooh.
And I'm taking them. Third recommendation.
Wow.
Second ugly one in a row. I'm doing it for the same reason I'm taking the Browns. Home dog getting no respect at all from bettors. They're getting 14% of all wagers, which is lower than the Browns at 18. And same thing. Houston's off a huge win.
Right.
That everyone remembers. And Houston was real popular with the public last week because they played Tennessee.
Right.
And the public never wins on the same team 2 weeks in a row. I like Jacksonville.
Okay.
And by the way, we're doing the show on Wednesday. Mm. Wait till like Sunday because I guarantee you, you're going to see this line creep up close to a touchdown.
Yeah, I could see that.
I'm waiting. The thing is, we're doing these games now. It's going to be interesting. Look for me to text you on Sunday claiming we're using the Sunday lines where they close because I have a feeling a lot of these teams I'm going to play are going to be getting better numbers on game day.
FDH Director of Research Nate Noy used to do that to me, and then he also he would go a step further. He would bitch about it on the air. And a lot of times we were recording on Thursdays.
Oh, I'll erase the podcast. For
But it was a thing of, like, his ego was such that, like, he would bitch at me. And you know, he would have to admit this even as he's listening to it, that he would cry about it on the air. I'm like, dude, you know, what are you doing? You're undermining me here. But
by the way,
care.
Houston plays Jacksonville twice
uh-huh.
this week on the road and the last week of the year at home.
Very helpful.
They're at Indy next week, which could be their season.
Yeah.
They're trying to avoid the sweep at the hands of the first-place team. And then they host Baltimore after that. Do we think Houston has any chance in the playoffs?
Not with that schedule. I mean, they're six and six.
I mean, I'm assuming you think they'll sweep Jacksonville. That'll put them at 8 wins.
Yeah, I just don't see them winning the other two.
Okay, you see them losing both those?
Probably.
I see them finishing 8. I just think with the quarterback situation.
Right.
Again, people want to – again, you go back to ripping on Brian Hoyer. I'm not saying this guy's awesome or that he should even be the starter next year.
Yeah.
I mean, what's Houston's quarterback situation? Yes, Fitzpatrick has a nice kid who knows how to do math, and he threw a lot of touchdowns last week.
Has Brian Hoyer ever thrown for 6 touchdowns in a game?
No, and I don't know if he has a son who knows how to do math.
Okay.
But, I mean, okay –
Fitzpatrick 2, Hoyer nothing.
Have you looked at Ryan Fitzpatrick's career record?
Yes.
It's like the worst ever for someone with that many starts.
Weren't you scoffing off air when I was telling you all the people doing the whole, oh, Brian Hoyer got him to 7-5, grr, you know?
Yeah, I know. When was Ryan Fitzpatrick ever been 7-5? He's like 5-700 is his record. His record's horrible as a starter. This is his third team that he's lost with.
Chicken and the egg. I mean, how many teams has he really had a chance to win with?
This team's not bad, this Houston team.
Well, they're 6-6 with him playing predominantly this year in there.
I mean, you know, Ryan Mallett, all the Facebook GMs that week were like, oh, the Browns should have signed him.
I certainly think Ryan Mallett has a much higher upside than Fitzpatrick, and that'll probably be borne out in the time to come.
I think that's going to hurt him next year.
Yeah,
O'Brien's going to stick with Mallett because Mallett's hurt and he's out for the year,
right.
So you don't know. He's going to be like, oh, we got to give this right. Houston's got some good obviously, they've got the best piece in the industry on the defensive side of the ball in J.J.
Right.
Watt. And it's funny that this team's going to probably finish where we thought they would, but it's not going to be enough. The AFC was just the middle is more clogged than we thought
it would be.
So that's Houston, I think before the year, you and I both said 8-8, and that would be good enough to win the division.
Yeah.
It's clearly not.
Because
Indianapolis never regresses.
You know, they are who we thought they were. It just wasn't enough. Up next, a battle of two just completely crappy teams here. The aforementioned 3-9 Giants at the 2-10 Titans, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, LP Field in Nashville on Fox. Tom Brenneman, David Deal, and the lovely tanned Laura Oakman on the call for this one. You have the Giants laying a point on the road. They opened it laying a point. It briefly moved to being a pick 'em. This is one where, again, I just struggle to get my hands around this one. One of the things we've talked about on this show, though, that something that's kind of a misleading indicator, because by the time you really notice it, it's almost due to start going the other way, is turnovers. And one of the things that's just killed the Giants so much are those turnovers.
Killed them last year, too.
Killed them last year as well. And you figure that whatever their quota is for the year, they're probably almost up to that point. I am sort of as we've said before, regression or progression to the mean kind of a guy. They're a frustrating team because they're one of the teams in the league that I don't know how much better they are than 3-9. Their ceiling is probably 6-6 if they had it all going on, but they're potentially better than their record. I said last week I was taking Jacksonville because the Giants were one of the only teams that they could beat, and I turned out to be right about that. I'm going to go the other way. I just don't see the Giants in back-to-back weeks losing to Jacksonville and Tennessee. We should be putting them really at the bottom of the league if that's the case. I don't think they're that bad. I'll take the Giants laying the point on the road.
I'm not playing this game. I think both these teams are unplayable at this point. I will say to your point, the Giants' last three losses have come by a combined 10 points.
Yeah.
The last 2 weeks, Tennessee has lost by a combined 43 points.
Yeah.
Tennessee could be the worst team in the league right now.
And that's the thing, too.
Their last win was against Jacksonville on October 12th. They had to block a field goal at the end to preserve that win. That's their only win since week one.
Right.
This team is – why did Ken Whisenhunt take – how many times have I asked that? This is a mess.
It is.
This is a really bad, bad football team. That said, I just can't trust the Giants on the road. I think Camp Coughlin's done.
Could be.
He'll bow out gracefully, but I can't imagine him wanting to come back. It's not worked with Ben McAdoo either as the offensive coordinator.
Right.
Eli Manning confused.
Right.
And, oh, by the way, you can't – I mean, okay, he didn't have old Odell Beckham at the beginning, but he had Victor Cruz, and now he's got Beckham now with no Cruz. Eli Manning looks lost. Maybe the worst two-time winning Super Bowl quarterback in the history of the league.
Right. I think they'd have a better chance at this stage of the game with Bob McAdoo drawing up the playbook here.
It kind of scares me because Tennessee is yet another home team that the public hates this week.
Yeah, but you know what? And you just put your finger on it with how much the Giants have lost by recently versus Tennessee.
I do. I kind of
like the eyeball test. The Giants, it's like, yeah, they're not a good team at all right now. But with Tennessee, it's like, man, they're just a complete dog crap team. That's the difference as I see it. So.
Yeah, and the Giants, God, they do have to. Forget about even winning. They haven't even covered recently.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they've covered once in their last seven games.
Yeah.
It was against Dallas, barely.
Don't see it being the bounce back. But again, a week like this, I don't say that with any certainty. I don't have much certainty about anything that I'm saying this week. It just, you know, watch this be one of my better weeks of the season, shockingly. But again, you know, I'm queasy about being on the Giants because right now, why wouldn't you be? The next pick is going to make me queasy as well. The 2-10 Bucks at the 8-4 Lions, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Ford Field in Detroit. Dick Stockton, Brady Quinn, Christina Pink on the call. And this is one where Detroit is coming off of Thanksgiving, a couple extra days rest there. They opened it laying 8.5. They're up to laying 10 at this point. But I keep coming back to in USA Today Sports Weekly highlighting this quote from Lovie Smith. That's how 2-10 football teams play. They find a way to lose it at the end because you look at how they did last week against Cincinnati.
I had Tampa. So did you,
yeah,
didn't you?
We had them cover,
it was a little close. They got out to that nice early lead and then did nothing.
Exactly. And it's – while I grant Lovie Smith his point that his team sucks, I also think that they're the kind of team that could pull a real penis puncher back door here on Detroit. Because, again, you know, 10 points is a lot, and everyone is just assuming that Lions engine is going to keep roaring after what we saw on Thanksgiving, and maybe that will be a turning point for Detroit, because you talk about the...
I like this Detroit team. Well, to make the, is this a playoff team, Detroit? By the way, again, we talk about all these teams that got three home games in a row this year.
Yeah.
They're one of them, starting with the win last week against Chicago. And they got Tampa and Minnesota the next 2 weeks coming into their stadium. That should be a sweep.
I have a hard time picking against them. They probably are, as I look at it here, although that would probably mean me conceding on San Francisco, which I am loath to do even now. But I will say this. Last week, you talk about how the Browns have only played one complete game all year. The Lions got to 8-4, with that being one of the only complete games all year, because the defense, shockingly, has carried them.
Oh, yeah.
Through the year, where it was supposed to be the other way around. So here's the question. Is that the real Lions team where you're going to see both sides of the ball doing it now? Was last week kind of a mirage? I don't know. It's always dangerous to pick a team that can't win.
Excuse me for playing footsie, by the way.
No, that wasn't me.
I know you could tell you're Republican, but it wasn't? Who was
no,
it then? Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, wow, I'm playing with somebody.
I think you kicked the blind there.
Oh, okay, that's, okay.
Yeah, no, it wasn't me.
What lovely blinds you have here, Ricky.
It's always dangerous to pick a team that you know can't win the game, and Tampa Bay can't win. But 10 points is a lot. So I see Tampa Bay coming in the back door. Don't feel good about making the pick.
Tampa Bay has not been blown out in a while.
That's
their
the
last
thing.
Couple
yeah.
losses by one last week. They lost at Chicago by 8. Probably should have won that game. They imploded in the third quarter. They beat Washington. Lost by 10 to Atlanta. Lost by 5 at Cleveland. By 6 against Minnesota. And then there was the Baltimore game, which was the last thing I got killed. Maybe they're due to get waxed. I see where you're coming from, and I don't disagree.
Mm-hmm.
But I just see a Detroit team that I think is going to put it all together. I see Detroit being hot with a strong finish
okay.
and being the fifth seed. I think this team is going to be the one who's lucky enough to draw the NFC South winner in the wild card game. So I'm going to abstain. As much as I want to take Tampa Bay here, I mean, this is not a team that scores a lot of points. I see a lot of 17s and 13s in their last seven games. They've scored one of those two totals in seven of those eight. The exception being their one win against Washington.
Right.
And they're not going to score a lot of points here against Detroit. They're not going to score a lot of points against Detroit.
I could just see at the post-game press conference when Lovie Smith gets
asked. By the way, another horrible job by a first-year head coach. Ken Wisenhunt is getting a run for his money from Lovie Smith in terms of just doing nothing.
A number of coaches clamoring to be the next one and done. But that's, at the old post-game press conference here, when Lovie Smith keeps getting asked about scoring 13 or 17 points, I look for him one of these weeks to channel Mark Henry and just say, "That's what we do!" Up next.
Flying over the head of the audience again, I see.
Probably. But by the way, the only prediction that I do feel good about making this week is Adam Rose's mascot when he is unmasked.
Oh, Jesus.
I look for it to be Shane McMahon. Here come the bunny.
Those are two horrible jokes in a row, buddy.
Well, the good ones borrow, the great ones steal. That one came from Cheap Heat, so blame them. Yeah, the look on your face right now is not to be believed.
Good grief.
Up next, it's two teams with pretty horrible Super Bowl records collectively. It's the 7-5.
Question.
What?
Did we skip Carolina, New Orleans? Or is that still a come on your list here?
We did, actually. Yes. Bad. My bad. We will flip back to that one. You're absolutely right.
I have a recommendation on it. That's the only reason
I
mention it.
Two very forgettable teams. How's that for a half cover on missing that one here?